Our guest tonight, I'm pleased to say, is VJC. One of our goals, by the way, if we can pry it out of him, is what VJC stands for. Perhaps he will tell us, perhaps he will not. This we do not know. VJC is the owner and the music programmer of Disco 935 in New York City. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. VJC started DJing back in 1975 in the Bronx, in, of course, New York. He must have been just a little bitty DJ. he taught himself how to DJ using a couple of Pioneer turntables and a mixer with crossfade, no headphones. My God, that was dedication. Some of the DJs who have inspired VJC are Ted Currier, Shep Pettibone, Jelly Bean, Latin Rascals, among others. In 77, he started doing mobile DJ work for events in the New York area. I'm interested in hearing about those. I bet he's got some stories to tell. He also had a live mix show on a radio station in New York called WRTN, and he did that for a few years in New York. He was, when working with the station, he was spinning disco classics, house, and freestyle cuts, and he's been doing this for 30 years. That's somebody who's committed to the music. VJC tells us that what's important to him is the mix and the collection of songs being put together, in effect making it one long song that tells a story. Very creative person. My first exposure to the VJC, stopped in when we had our guest Eric Cole a while back. I believe it was Eric Cole. And he called in and talked with Eric for a while, and I was fascinated listening to him. He fascinating caller. And the next day I went and explored finding out more about him, prior to having him on the show, and I happened to come across his MySpace page. And when opening his MySpace page, a music track plays, and I was simply stunned. I knew the instant I heard that track that I had indeed encountered a kindred spirit. The track was by a group called Cerrone. You may be familiar with it. Back in the day when I DJed, which was when dinosaurs used to dance, I used to play Supernature and by Cerrone, and I used to play Trippin' on the Moon, which is, of course, fabulous by Cerrone. But I had not heard this particular Cerrone track. And it tells you everything you need to know about this guest. So before I bring him on, Bob, if you would go ahead and run Je Suis music.
We all feel the pain. Is it necessary when we feel the pain? Better stick together. Music is the way to relieve the pressure. Music on the way. Do you get the message? We all feel the pain. Is it necessary when we feel the pain? Better stick together. Music is the way to relieve the pressure. Music on the way. Do you get the message? We all feel the pain. Is it necessary when we feel the pain? Better stick together. Music is the way to relieve the pressure. Music on the way. Do you We'll be right back.
And there you have it, straight from VJC's homepage. And welcome to Strictly Confidential VJC.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing well this evening. It's so nice to have you on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure to come aboard and talk about Disco 93.5 and the DJs that I feature and the music from back in the day.
That's wonderful. Are you going to bite on us asking what VJC stands for?
Well, I mean, sure, I can tell you what that means. What it was, first of all, how I came up with that concept was that everybody calls themselves DJ Joe, DJ Jack, whatever. I didn't want to be called DJ, you know, my name is Victor. Right? It's Victor, and I use my initials, Victor Juan Cologne. So that's what it is. It's VJC. So what I did, I took away the DJ and just called myself VJC. So it's something
great.
That, you know, I'm always creating things. I don't try to, I'm always innovating, not imitating, you know. That's my my model.
We have some of your remixes, which we'll run later in the show. What do you think first attracted you to the music? You started doing this, what were you, a teenager?
Yeah, I must have been 14, 15 years old. As a matter of fact, I even goes back even further back in the 60s when I used to listen to WABC radio here in New York. It was the top 40 station with Cousin Brucie and Don Ingram. And I mean, I can go back way back in the day when they used to play that top 40 stuff. That music in itself, it had a lot of soul and everything, and it was just magical. And for some reason, as I kept on listening to that, then obviously I started to listen to more of music in the 70s here in New York on FM stations. And obviously it really started out in a station called WPIX 102. It was at the time it was called Disco 102 in 1975. They started playing some disco at night with the likes of Crown Heights Affair, to Tramps, Silver Convention, you name it, they were playing it. The unfortunate thing with that was that they stopped playing it after a year or two, and it seemed to have died down, the disco music. But I was looking for this stuff, and what happened was in 1978...
Some tears, you think to me, you love me, you love me.
Wow! Was that a trip to the 70s or what? That was amazing. Well, I DJed in the 80s, in the early 80s through about, 87, something like that. And, I have to tell you, some of that I had not heard before, but, that's an amazing trip to the 70s, I've got to tell you.
Yeah, that's basically when really disco started in the middle 70s, early 70s, 74, 75, when Blue Magic came out with the those cuts. Obviously, that's basically what I grew up on, that type of sound. I mean, if you listen to the sound that was done in 74, 75, it still sounds fresh from today. It still sounds like it was made just yesterday. It's got what's called soul. It's got rhythm. It's got a story behind it. It's timeless music. It's just never going to die. The difference between that music from that era and today is like night and day. The music from back in the day, today's music, it just, there's no way, it's just not reproduced that way anymore. Today, it's done through a computer. They have a couple of so-called these DJs come aboard and put tracks in, what anybody can do today, and then get a vocalist or a male or female that sounds the same in every record, and it's not the same anymore. If the dance music, I have a lot of this dance music from today. After an hour, after a couple of months, it's blasé to me. It doesn't do anything to me. If you get my drift, Peter.
Yes, absolutely, and yeah. Both myself and Bob in production chat are both thinking the same thought, especially that last track that was part of that group of tracks. The last one had the electric piano. It sounded very much like jazz. You just don't hear it in a dance track. I was floored by that.
Right, exactly. The thing is, it was real music done by real artists. And the thing is that I'm a little tired because I'm in music, because I go to work early in the morning. I have a day job, and I'm trying to. I hope I'm not slurring my words here, but I'm trying to.
We'll let you go in a second.
No, it's okay. I can hold on to 11.
Okay.
51, but I could still hang.
I have to tell you, it's late for me too. It's past my bedtime too. They make me do this.
Yeah, it sucks as we get older. The body is not as it was when we're younger. We can just hang out all night. The body starts to clock down. Right? It's strange. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, what I'm trying to say is, this is one of the reasons why I continue to run Disco 93.5, because. Music like Blue Magic, music like Crown Heights Affair, music like The Tramps. I don't know if you ever heard of a lot of these groups that I'm mentioning, but basically
some of them.
It's basically, this is where the disco scene started from back in from these groups. It evolved from them, and the sound was changing throughout the 70s. And if you listen to the stuff that started the disco era back in 71, 72 to the later additions in the decade of the 70s, you could hear the difference in the sound changing, especially when Giorgio Moroder came aboard. He came around, and Kraftwerk, they started messing around with electronic stuff. So that's when it started being more robotic. But it wasn't as bad as today's music, because at least it still had some soul to it.
But Giorgio Moroder was very melodic, even though it was electronic.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't like today's music, which is very robotic. It's at least it's melodic, like you said. The difference, there is a big difference. And I can still listen to his stuff today. It sounds great. The stuff today, you listen to it, it's like, oh my god, I can mix a song from 10 different artists, and I could put it together in one big mix, and it sounds like one big song, and you can't distinguish who's who, because the tracks sound the same, the vocal is almost the same, and after a while, it just doesn't make it. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is, it's just not like what it used to be, the dance music. I'm sorry. It just doesn't cut it. But there
well,
is
I have
difference.
To completely agree.
Yeah, there is a little difference that what's called house music, what's called deep house, where this music, what it does, it has a little flavor from back in the day. It has a little soul in it. It has a little bit of vocals. I also do that deep house mixing. I should have sent you a deep house mix, but it's something similar to what I play, but it's just got the 2000 today's flavor in there. But that I can take. But the dance music today, it's just not cutting it. It's just horrid. It's horrid. It's just in my book. I mean, obviously I'm a DJ and I can still mix that stuff, but I'd rather mix the classics because it's just something about it that I can mix one song to the other song and you can distinguish the artist from one song to the other. Where today, when you mix it, you can't distinguish; they all sound the same. I mean,
well, it's true, and it's like sitting through a whole evening. You know, if you have a 6-hour set, it's like a 6-hour set of the same song over and over
exactly.
and over
and
again.
After a while, you have one drink, and then, I mean, and you have at the end of the night, the song that you started with sounds the same as when you ended it with. But if you play the 70s and 80s stuff, especially the stuff that I play, you can't distinguish. You can distinguish who's who. Which group is what? With the vocalist, you can hear the difference in the vocals. You can hear the difference in the arrangements, everything. I mean, it was fascinating. I mean, and then you can get up and it just hits you, and you just go with the flow. I mean, it was just great. It was a magical time to be in. You had to be there to understand what I was talking about. It's just not like that no more. It's just I'm glad I was back in that time in the 70s, even in the 80s. I mean, it was great. Great music, great dance music, and the problem is a lot of the stuff that I play, they still don't play it. It's like a taboo thing. They just won't play it because they think there's no audience for it. But there is if you have to educate the audience. But the audience just continues to want the same stuff that they've heard from back in the day because it brings back the memories. Yeah, I understand that because I'm one of them that it brings back the memories, but. How many times must I hear the same song that brings back my memories? I want to hear something different from back in the day so I can get some new memories.
Absolutely true, especially the Gloria Gaynor thing that you brought up. How many times can you hear Gloria Gaynor singing that?
I mean, obviously, yeah. Come on. I mean, she's made a lot of other great songs, but, I mean, obviously they play Never Can Say Goodbye and that one and maybe two other songs. But basically it's two or three songs, and she's made a lot of great music, and they don't play it. I mean, even the KC and the Sunshine Band. How many times which I hear, Shake Your Booty Down, whatever, and then they Get Down Tonight, and the Bee Gees, the three hits they had off the Saturday Night Fever. I mean, how many times must we hear that? Enough. I mean, we should be dancing. We should be dancing. I sometimes when I hear these cuts, I just want to puke.
Well, you know, there's we have a mutual friend, I think, down in Miami. His name is Hank. Hank is, I think I've seen him, I think I saw him join Multiply. Hank is a straight man also, and he DJs in a gay club on what night is it? It's like, they don't call it oldies night, but they call it like 80s night or I don't know, retro night, who knows what it is, but apparently it's huge.
80s retro. 80s retro.
Yeah, and apparently it's huge. He has a great time doing it, and when clubs do that, it tends to draw a huge crowd, as best I can tell.
Right, there is an audience. The problem is that, especially the 70s music, the problem is between me, you, Peter, a lot of this stuff was played back when people were my age. Right now, I'm 51, so the people basically are either dead. Or we can't dance anymore because you know what I mean? So you can't really play a 70s night because most of the people are dead. So I mean,
yeah.
and the kids today don't understand what that is because they want to hear the rap and they want to be the R&B and the dance tunes, because if you do play that other stuff, they go, "What is that?" I said,
"That's music." What would probably blow them away? Do you remember the old? It was an LP, but it was a mixed side, and that, wasn't it Gloria Gaynor with Honey Bee and. There was a whole site. I can't remember. There's so many marvelous tracks on that.
Let me see if I have it here on my computer. As a matter of fact, between me and you, Peter, right now, on my computer, I got 14,000 tracks.
My
and
God!
I have no more. I got three hard drives running. Two computers.
No
three
doubt.
Hard
No doubt. I hope it's like, backed up. That would be a terrible loss.
No, I have it all backed up on DVDs and Misty Glory Again and Honeybee. Never Can Say Goodbye. Reach out, I'll be there.
Yes.
You made another medley called Let's Make a Deal. I've Got You Under My Skin. Be Mine. Casanova Brown. If you want it, do it yourself. She made another cut called Last Night. I Am What I Am. Love Is Just a Heartbeat Away. Most of all. Let Me Know I Have a Right. Obviously, I Got You Under My Skin, I said that. And anybody want a party? I mean, I'm going just down the lines of what I have here on my computer. I mean, First Be a Woman. I don't even know if anybody ever heard. She made First Be a Woman, which was really originally done by, I just can't get the artist. Let me see. The First Be a Woman was by, I'm trying to think, hold up. I can't get it, you know, I can't remember. But the fact of the matter, what I'm trying to say is that I'm just running off what I have in my library of hers, but a lot of the stuff is not played. So this is basically what I run on Disco 93.5. But obviously, it's just impossible to play all this music on Disco 93.5 over and over again because I run a lot of different playlists. It's just, you know, and then you have different audiences. And people want to hear these certain songs. They want to hear these certain cuts. They want to hear these certain sounds. They just want to hear these certain mixes. And if you change it slightly, it's deviating from the norm. So they just can't get into it because you deviated. You played a house cut or you played a song that they're not familiar with. So it's a very tough crowd. I mean, this is just the internet. I'm not even really. I mean, another thing with the internet is you can't take the computer with you. You know, it's not you can't put it in the car. You can't take it to the job. You can't take it to the job, but a lot of these jobs, they don't let you stream music, so it's very hard.
You
understand my drift, Peter?
Yeah, sure I do. And even if you can take a laptop with you, you certainly can't plug in that many hard drives to keep all of that.
It's a very, especially with the internet. Obviously, you're running this station on the internet, so it's even harder to get some kind of audience because it's very hard. I mean, I monitor my station. My station maybe gets 2 to 10 listeners a week, and that's not a lot of people. And that's because it's just I have no idea. I don't know. I'm one of the lowest rated.
Well, I think you're going to have some new listeners. The people in the chat room love you. You've been referred to as everything from a national treasure to a wonderful guest. The list goes on and on, and I think you're going to find that you have some new people tapping into that, and you don't actually have to subscribe to a Live 365 to listen. You can just click and listen, but you do get some commercials. Isn't that the way that works?
Right. The thing is, if you don't subscribe, you just get the commercials. But if you subscribe to what's called VIP, I think it's $40 a year. But when you do subscribe, it's no commercials. It sounds better. You get better quality, and plus you're helping me because the more you listen, it's the ad dollars. I mean it goes into my station. It's like a little bit of money goes into me to help me pay my bills as I'm running my station. So the more VIP listeners, the better it is for me. But obviously, I don't push it. You know, I don't try to. It's up to the individual. I can't force that. That's up to the person. You know, and I like I said, everything I do, it comes out of my pocket. Like I said, I run my own website. I run my, you know, MySpace, Multiply. I did all that myself, and I have 2 computers. 3 hard drives, 14,000 jams, plus I got more jams that I haven't even ripped yet. So,
well, I have a couple of questions for you that are coming from chat. One is regarding the people who are sampling music and do the remixes. You know, there's a huge surge of that. There's a school of thought that says, you know, that's not serious. It's just fake because they're not creating anything. What do you think the rise of sampling has done to the music?
It's ruined it. It's ruined it. It's actually, why can't they come out? These artists worked hard to create something, just like me when I create my mixing, and if someone comes along and let's say takes my mixes and say, oh, they did it, you know, or they take it and they sample something. It's just, I mean, obviously, like even I'm a DJ. Sometimes you might sample something, but it's not like it's just for the fun of it. But sometimes they take it because they want to make a dollar out of it. A lot of these rap songs, you know, that's what they do. And it's wrong. It's nice if they come out with their own, you know, their own music. You know, it's really got to come out of your mind. You got to create. But when you take somebody else's creation and try to and bite off it, it's not right. It's just not right.
I have a copy of a rap song. DJ Dave, I think it is. I'm not sure. But it's pretty much a rap song, but it's based around Killing Me Softly with Roberta Flack. And it goes have you heard it? You probably have heard it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of these raps, especially in the 90s, where they took a lot of this. It's like, for instance, MC Hammer. He took Rick James' Super Freak, and he just took that part and then rhymed over it, and he made so much money over it.
Yes, and there was a bit from David Bowie that was used up. What was the
last who, dance?
I think so. The da 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 track.
Let's Dance. Was done by Chic, Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards. They're the ones that produced that song for David Bowie. Because I think, long story short, he was always, I think, in Studio 54, and I think they made him a song, something like that. I guess that's how it came about.
Apparently there was another one, Under Pressure. Under Pressure was lifted, and Vanilla Ice used it, too.
Ice Baby.
The one.
Stuff that came out in the early 90s, or late 80s, where a lot of this stuff was sampled. Like I said, the problem with that was, after a while, if you listen to it, it was just a commercialized stuff just to make money, just to make a hit, to sell. It's what it was. Just they were being lazy. It's this laziness in the music industry today. The music industry today is very lazy. They want to make a quick buck. It's all about capitalism. You know that. I mean, obviously, Bob. I know he runs this show, a political show before you, and it's probably basically what I'm trying to say. It's political. It's political stuff.
Very, very much so.
That's another show in itself.
Yes. We are all a little bit on the political side here. we all have our tinfoil hats. Another question from chat regarding your being on Live 365, having to do with the what is the situation for the time being anyway regarding the the royalty issues. You remember they were trying to, there was a period of time that all the live music stations thought they were going to have to shut down on the internet.
Right. At the moment, right now, they're still bickering about how much they should charge. And between me and you, Peter, I found it absurd, because first of all, I'm a DJ, and it's a hobby for me, and it's just streaming music. And on top of that, most of my artists that I play, they're dead. So how, you know, they're going to say that they're going to charge me because I'm playing. I mean, obviously they get royalties too. I guess if you're dead, it goes to your estate, I guess. I guess that's how it works. But between me and you, it's just not fair, because on radio they don't even charge that much money, and also the satellite it's not even charged as much money as Live 365. You know, streaming music in itself.
Well, when I was reading about this. When I was reading about it initially, I got the impression that not only was it applying to internet audio streams, it was also applying to mobile DJs regarding how many people you had, and to clubs, how many people you had, you know, in the room at any given time. Was the they were trying to spread that.
In other words, they want to charge you for every time you play a record, whether it's live or through streaming. They want to get a cut. Like, it's, in other words, like if the person's really there, but even though they're taped. They're on a CD or on a vinyl, they want to make royalties out of everything, and it's just not right. So, I mean, years ago when we used to buy the music, it was about, you know, pushing the music so an audience can buy the music. It wasn't about that. Now if I'm a DJ and I got to push music, and they're going to tell me, well, since you play 10 songs, now you got to pay us $40. What? I said, well, I'm not going to play the music no more. Then, you know, what happens? Everything goes underground. And it gets worse. And then, you know, that's not the answer. I mean, that's just how I feel. I mean,
well, I completely agree. It seems to me that they're shooting themselves in the foot. It's as if they just don't get the whole new paradigm that's evolving from internet listeners. You know, everything is internet driven now, and everything needs to.
Why this thing come about, Peter? I think this is my opinion. I think since internet radio got bigger and bigger, and people from FM, the big corporations are not getting the listeners they used to get because now they're going to the onto the internet. They're scared that they're gonna lose their ad dollars. So now they're fighting back. I think this is what's happening. You know, it's a camouflage. I think these big corporations are behind what's going down. That's just my opinion. Because me, a little guys like us, we're cutting into their action. So we're taking a little bit of the action. They don't like that. So this is just my opinion. I could be completely wrong.
I don't think you are.
What was that?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I completely agree with you. It has to do with corporate greed.
Right, because obviously when I first started in 99 and then 2000, this never came about. It came about like 3-4 years ago. The government put their hands into everything. When something starts getting big, when it concerns money, that's how everything starts to change. And it's just a hobby. A lot of us who run stations on 365, we're all hobbyists. We just like to play different music for people who enjoy this stuff. It's just not about. I don't make no money. I don't make no money on this. I pay for this. I mean, this is ridiculous. And on top of that, I got to now pay for the fact that I'm running streaming music. It's just not right.
Well, you know, there was a message from Glenn the other day. Apparently, he had put up some tracks from a group that is no longer that their music exists
exactly.
Nowhere.
I know. Mm-hmm. I don't recall the
name of the group. Don't recall the name, but the music exists nowhere. Not for download. Not for 99 cents a track. It's just not there. And yet he got a letter from whoever saying that they would sue him. But the music doesn't exist. It's absurd.
Exactly. I mean, I've had that happen to me a couple of times too. So I wrote the person back. I said, well, then. You know, no one's going to know about, you in particular, if you don't let me play this stuff, or, you don't share it, how's it going to go out there? You know, they think, it's gold. It's not gold.
Glenn is pointing out, Glenn is in chat, he's pointing out it was called Tyrants in Therapy was the name of the group.
Right, I was trying to look at my email. Right, exactly.
Yeah, they exist nowhere.
When he sent me the email, I was going, huh? A couple of times it's happened to me where I had to, not play it because I was threatened to say, well, you can't be playing my songs unless I tell you to. So I said, okay, fine. But then I get other artists who have sent me stuff that says no problem. I guess it depends on the individual. It just makes no sense. Some people are paranoid, and others ain't. You know, you got to take a chance in the business. You can't just say you can't play it unless I tell you. You can only play it 10 times. But that doesn't make it. If you played it 11 times, oh, wait a minute, we can't have that. What's the difference between if I played it 10 times or 11 times? You know what I mean? Or
well,
if I put it out there and promote it.
I completely agree.
If it's not pushed, it just makes no sense.
I completely agree. Well, I have to tell you, you've been a wonderful guest. We're getting closer to the top of the hour, and I should probably wrap the show pretty soon. But I have to tell you, the folks in chat loved you, and I have certainly enjoyed talking to you. And your station is great. I've had the occasion to listen to it a couple of times. And by all means, if you send in a track from time to time, I'll be glad to run it. Every night I run at least one dance track anyway, regardless of what kind of news I'm doing. So there's always a dance track, so there's always room for one of your remixes.
No, what it was, basically, I tell you too, long story short, I know we have a couple minutes. I mean, obviously, Glenn Rivera was one that turned me on to your Strictly Confidential. Obviously, when he first came on, and obviously he told me, do you want to do a show on Confidential? I said, well, sure, I wouldn't mind. So obviously, now I'm doing a show. So, I mean, it was a thrill, obviously, and a pleasure to do the show tonight with you, Peter, and... like I said, a big shout out goes to Glenn Rivera for obviously setting this up, because if it wasn't for him, I would never have known about you and about the show. And another thing is, before I leave, I mean, Disco 93.5 is basically run for 70s, 80s music and beyond. In other words, beyond meaning anything else. And also, like I said, the DJs that I do have in mixed rotation is Glenn Rivera from San Diego, Manny Rivera from Miami. Bobby Vitaretti from New York, Larry Sanders from San Francisco, Tommy B from Germany, E-Man from Belgium, and another DJ, Joey Luciano from New York, and of course myself, VJC, which entail I do all the shows live, all the live shows, along with my helper, Dark Love, and also another lady that helps me with my music called CN. That's all.
Well,
I want to say.
It's been a joy to listen to you, and since the network is tomorrow, we're running reruns tomorrow across all of the shows. The network we have one of our folks in the studio is having an outpatient surgery. It's okay, but I'm just letting you know. So I will have a chance to tune into Disco 935 tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it.
What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to do a live show tomorrow. Come on early and do a live show. So if you happen to be aboard, you can always email me at disco935@oponline.net. That's disco935@oponline.net. That's disco935, the rhythm and soul from New York.
Wonderful. Well, count me in, brother. And thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Okay.
A remarkable guest and a very devoted and talented man you are.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for appearing on Strictly Confidential. And again, another fabulous guest on this radio program. I am blessed with fabulous guests, and this particular fabulous guest was recommended by another fabulous guest, Mr. Glenn Rivera, and want to let you know that we have some more wonderful music, I guess, coming up soon. We have the legendary Tom Moulton, who will be coming on with Ernest Cole. Soon, we'll also have Elliot Sokolov, who's a composer, producer, musician based in New York City. He has a classical and rock pop background. And in addition to that, coming up next week, we're going to have the Trocadero is having its 30th anniversary. If you know anything about the Trocadero, it's the Trocadero Transfer is legend in the gay community. It ranks with Studio 54. There's a Trocadero. There's the Saint. There's the Crow. There's a short list of legendary gay dance clubs. The Trocadero is one of them. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary coming up in about a week. We will have the DJ who will be playing at the Trocadero, in addition to Chris, I'm sorry I don't have Chris's last name, but telling us all about the upcoming 30th Pearl anniversary of the Trocadero. I wish I could be there. It is in San Francisco. And I love you guys. Thank you for joining the show. And I'll miss you tomorrow, I truly will, but I'm tuning into the Disco 935 station. Don't know what you're going to do, but that's what I'm going to do. And in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...